The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot. This daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Nuria Ben Noga Shniftar Bekitsur Yamim Veshanim Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun Gimal. Today's daf is being studied at Lunishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Aiden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied at Lunishmat Amir Muhammad and the Telepic Sunni Amin Vishani Mazal Bad Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Aiden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Bet Amud Bet, right on the bottom line. Velo aya haser birushalayim. So we said the lights from the Sinhabet HaShoeva, from the menorot, was so bright. So there was four menorot, and each one had four bulbs that they would light for the oil. And it was so bright that every courtyard in Jerusalem was illuminated from the menorah. And we said that the ladies were able to... like the Gemara doesn't say Tana, Isha ita boreret chitim leor shel bet haShoeva. It was so bright that the ladies were able to select their wheat from the chaff and from the impurities from the light of the Simcha of the bet haShoeva. That's how beneficial it was. So the Tosafot says, what are you talking about? How could you benefit from the light of the bet haShoeva? That's a suit of hana'ah from it, even though it might not be mi'ila, because there's no me'ilah by light, by something that's not tangible, but he says it's still asur nonetheless. So Tosafot learns, potentially they would have been able to check the wheat, but they didn't actually check the wheat, because you can't benefit from the light of the kedusha of the Sibab of the Shoeva. Hasidim and Anshei Maaseh. So we said the Hasidim and Anshei Maaseh, they would go and sing praises to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the righteous people, right? So it says, Tanu Rabbanan, Yesh Ben Omrim, some of the Hasidim would say, Ashrei Yaldutenu, fortunate is our youth, Shelo Bisha Idziknutenu, that did not embarrass our old age. Which means, the praise that they said was, that Baruch Hashem, we didn't sin when we were young, that we would become embarrassed when we were old. These were the Hasidim, meaning from birth they were religious. And then there was a Baruch Hashem, we have nothing to be embarrassed of. Our youth was good, and therefore in our old days you have nothing to be ashamed of. That nobody could say, oh, we remember when. There were Tzaddikim from birth. Elu Hasidim. That's referring to the Hasidim Hashem Maaseh, and the men of good deeds. V'yesh men omrim. And some said, Ashrei Ziknutenu, fortunate are we in our old age, Shekapra et Yaldutenu, that was mechaper, that atoned for what we did when we were young. Elu Ba'alei Teshuvah. That's referring to those that repented. Which means that now they became tzaddikim. So they say, Baruch Hashem, we were zocheh at old age, that it's able to atone for what we did when we were young. Elu ve'elu omrim, both the Hasidim and the Ba'alei Teshuvah would say, Ashrei mishelo hata, fortunate is a man that does not sin. Umishehata yeshuvim cholo, and somebody that sins, let him make teshuvah, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be mohan. So that was the theme songs that were sung at the Simcha Bet HaShoeva. Tanya, Amru alav al Hillel HaZaken. They said regarding Hillel HaZaken, who of course was an attendee of the Simcha Bet HaShoeva, Kishaya sameh Simcha Bet HaShoeva, when he was happy at the time of Sahabat HaShoeva, Amar Ken, he would say the following, Imani kan, akol kan. Literally means, if I'm here, everybody's here. Vim eni kan, and if I'm not here, mi kan. Who's here? Now who's he referring to? So that she tells us that he was referring to the Shekhinah. When he says Imani Kan, and he's not a reference to Hillel, it's not an arrogant statement like this. What he's saying is, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shekhinah in this Beit HaMikdash, finished, that everybody's here, that we all have a purpose, that's why we're here. But if God is not here in this purpose, in this building, in this Beit HaMikdash, he doesn't put his divine presence, who's here then? Then nobody's here. Because we're only here tonight in the Beit HaMikdash because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashneh his Shekhinah. So there was Imani Kan. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKol Kan. Then everybody's here. But if Imani Kan, Mikan, who's going to be here? Look at that. See the way he says it. Doreh Shayal Rabim Shelo Yihata'u Bishmo. They're trying to give Musa and Hillel, don't sin. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imani Kan, HaKol Kan. Kozman Shani Hafez Bebayit Azeh. Oh, as long as I want. God says, I will this house. But if you sin, there's no Beit HaMikdash. That Tosfot learns is differently. Tosfot learns, the second Tosfot in the Daf, he says, Imani Kan is referring to Klai Yisrael. Which means we're telling Borei Olam, Imani Kan, Akol Kan. If Klai Yisrael is coming in to praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everybody is there. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys the praises of Klai Yisrael, like it says, "Va'akta Kadosh Yosef Tehillot Yisrael." He sits and enjoys the praises of. He says, "So Imani." He's saying it as an individual, but he means Imani as Klai Yisrael. Imani kana kol kam. Okay. Who haya Omer? He used to say the following. Ken, he would say the following. Lamakom shani yohef, to the place that I love, sham raglai molichot oti. To the place that I love, that I is endeared to me, my legs walk me to that place. Okay, which means to the Beit HaMikdash. He's saying my legs walk me to the place of the Beit HaMikdash. Im ata tavo el beti. And he's talking for God. God says, if you come to my house and you show up to the Beit HaMikdash where my divine presence is, ani avo il betecha. And God says, I will come to your house, which means the pasuk says, like ve'asudi mikdash v'shachanti betocham, bechol makom she'eskid et shemi avo elecha u'benachticha, which means if you come to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will come and rest the Shekhinah on us. Okay, that's the way they learn it. Im ata lo tavo el beti, but Borei Olam says, this is Hillel saying, if you don't come to my house, if you don't make an effort to come closer to the Shekhinah, ani lo avo el beti. Kashne emar bechol hamakom asher iskirit shemi, in every place where God's name is mentioned, avo elecha uberachticha. God says, I will come to you and bless you. So Hillel is giving them musar during the singing how you have to get closer to the Shekhinah. And then the Gemara tells us another statement of Hillel, not related to Simchat Beit HaShoeva. Af ura'a gulgolet ahad shesafa al pnei ha'mayim. He once saw a skull that was floating on the water. Now this skull was a person that was a murderer himself. He was a thief, and he murdered somebody, and they murdered him. So now he tells the skull, Amar la, al da'ateft, because you drowned somebody, atefuch, they drowned you. He says, midah keneged midah in the world. Says, what do you think? You just drowned by chance? You must have drowned somebody. And therefore, because you killed somebody, they killed you. However, the soft, as she says, umtayefayich yetufun. But those that drowned you, they will get drowned themselves, because they're not God. And therefore, they when they drowned you, they didn't do it the Shem Shamayim. They were also gangsters. So the ones that drowned you, also going to get drowned as well. Look at Rashi. Shesafal pnei ha'mayim, shechatchu et rosho. They cut the guy's head off. Vetilu ha'mayim. And they threw him in the water. Vekir bo shurotzayah. He realized that this guy that got killed, he himself was a murderer. Upagru bo akshav destim kayasebo. So he got what he deserved. He was a murderer, so the robbers came and they killed him. Amar la al da'atef tatfuch. Asisafta gulgulet shel ha'harim b'mayim. Because you floated other skulls in the water. Atfuch. Hasifuch ha'harim akshav. They caused you to float. וסוף בתייפך יתובון, עוד יבוא יום, the day will come, ויציפו גלגלותם של אלו שהרגוך, those that killed you, also, which means there was espousing the principle of מידה כנגד מידה, everybody gets what they deserve. אמר רבי יוחנן said, רגלוי דבר איניש, the legs, the feet, the footsteps of man, the legs really of a person, אינון ארבין בר, they are his guarantors. To what? Le'atad mitbe'et, to the place where they are claiming him. Taman movilin yate. That's where the legs will bring the person. Which means a person's legs are his age, God's agents to bring a person to his fate. Which means if a person is supposed to Chas v'Shalom die in a certain place, the legs will bring him exactly to that place where he's supposed to be in order, Chas v'Shalom, for the judgment to be set. Which means a person, when they say in America, he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. So Rabbi Hanan is dispelling that. He's saying, no, everybody's in the right place at the right time. Which means that's where he was supposed to be. The legs of a person are his guarantor. They put him exactly where the claims are. As she says, Le'atar de mitbe'eh. למקום שנגזר עליו למות, to the place where it was destined for him to die, בו משם הוא מתפקש איתו נשמתו, where his neshama be taken away, taman movilin yate, לשם רגליו מוליכין אותו. But when a person gets into a car accident, חס ושלום, so he say, if he wouldn't have been there and standing, no, the legs of a person, they're the guarantors to make sure that the person will be exactly where he's supposed to be. The Gemara tells a story on this. Hanihu tarte kusha'e. There were two kusha'e. She says these were handsome people, but sometimes the Gemara calls handsome people kusha'im, black people. Like it's without, you don't want to give ayin alat to somebody that's handsome, like Moshe's wife. They called her Isha Kushit because she was very beautiful. So they don't want to give ayin alat, so to speak. So they say, so there was two kusha'e, two handsome men. They actually worked for Shlomo HaMelech. They were like his secretaries. Eliharef v'Ahiya b'nei Shisha. Eliharef and Ahiya, the sons of Shisha. Soflim de Shlomo. They were actually the scribes of Shlomo. Havu. They were. Yomahad, one day, Hajal HaMelech HaMavet, Da'ava Ka'asib. Shlomo HaMelech saw the angel of death that was depressed. Amar le, so Shlomo tells the Malach HaMavet, Amai Atzibat, what are you all upset about? Amar le, de kaba'u minai hani tarte kusha'e, di atve'acha, listen, God wants me to take the souls of these two men that are in front of you, that are sitting over here, okay? But what's the problem? He says, I can't get them. Why? Because they weren't supposed to die at that spot. That to be in a different place. So therefore, he say, I can't get them. I got to get them to a certain area, and they don't want to go there. They're not going there, and I can't take them over here. So that's what the Malach HaMavet was depressed about. So now, Shlomo HaMelech said, I got to save these people over here. The Malach HaMavet's out to get them. Maslinu le-se'irim. Se'irim is the shedim. Shlomo HaMelech was in control of the demons. So therefore, he came over to the demons, so the demons will take these guys and bring them to a protected area. Shadrinu l'mechoza de Luz. So they sent them through the Shadim to the city of Luz. Now the city of Luz, there was a tradition, anybody who lives in that city, you can't die. Nobody ever died in the city of Luz. So Shlomo HaMelech is figuring, I'll save these guys' lives. Let me send them immediately to Luz. They'll be there, the Malach HaMavet won't be able to get them. The second they got to the gates of Luz, shechivu, they died. Shlomo the next day saw the Malach HaMavet laughing. What are you laughing for? The place where they needed to be, that's where you sent them. Which means you helped me. That's where they needed to be. I was only able to kill them at the gates of Luz. So you thought you were outsmarting me. You thought that you'll send them to Luz. I needed to get them to the gates of Luz because that's what they're supposed to do. So I'm laughing. You thought you're going to outsmart me On the contrary, you helped me. You brought them to the exact spot where they were supposed to die. Be'atar deba'u minai, the place that I needed them to be tamar over there, shedritinu. That's where you sent them. Miyad patach Shlomo ve'amar. Shlomo at that moment said, Raglohi debarinish, the legs, the feet of a person, inun armin be. They are his guarantors. Le'atad mitbe'e, to the place where he's nitba, where the claims are against him. Taman muvinin yate. The legs bring a person to the place, which means a person will always be in the place where he's destined to be, where he's supposed to be. You can't outsmart. He just won't try to outsmart. Adrabah. The legs were actually bringing them closer to their fate. Tanya. Amru alav al Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. They said about Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the Nasi. When he was enjoying this Mahabat HaShoeva, he would take 8 torches. He would throw one up and catch one. That's juggling. See, that was his simcha. He would juggle the 8 torches. Now, of course, there's probably a reason why he picked 8, and what was the purpose why davka torches. There was kavanot behind it, but there was the simcha that he had. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel also, when he would bow and prostrate himself, he would take his 2 thumbs and thrust them on the ground, vishoha, and then he would bend, and his face would be face down on the ground and kiss the ground, vizokif, and then he would cause his rest of his body to be elevated. So it was like a handstand on his headstand on his thumbs, but he would through his thumbs he would elevate his body up. So all he had is his face down on the ground, pushing the ground. Not everybody was able to do such a feat. This is the kida. Whenever it says in the pasuk vayikod kida is a special type of bowing where just the person's face is hitting the ground. And the reason why he did that was because the pasuk says, "Kidatsu abadecha et abaneha," where the servants of God they yearn and they love the stones of Eretz Yisrael. So he would kiss the stones in that fashion to show his love of Eretz Yisrael. And so in his generation, Rabban Shimon Gamliel was the one that knew how to do kida. Gemara says, "Levi ahve kida kame derbi." One time Levi, he performed kida in front of Levi, v'itla. He dislocated his hip. It seems the pressure when you're lifting your body, he put a lot of pressure on his waist, and that caused him to become lame. So the Gemara says, v'agar male? Is that what caused Levi to become lame when he was demonstrating kida? Gemara says in a different place, a person should never cast things, say words towards God that are confrontational. There was one man that casted words towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a result of it, God punished him and made him lame. Umanu Levi. So you see over here, it wasn't the kida that did it. It was the fact that he casted the words. What did he say? The Gemara says in Ta'anit, there was no rain. So he said, Borei Olam, Alita Lamarom. You went upstairs, V'yata Mashgiach Al Banecha. And you're not watching us anymore, which means you left us. You're upstairs wherever you are, and you left your children to suffer. And that was strong words. So therefore, it's because of those strong words that he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but now punished him. So the Gemara says, both caused him to get lame. Which means, the real sin was because he was Matiyah Devarim Kalepe Mala. He spoke to God in a confrontational way. Now, God, for some reason, had mercy on him. He didn't punish him right away. But once Levi put himself in a dangerous position where he needed rahamim from Shamayim, now Borei Olam says he's vulnerable, now you can get him. Which means sometimes Borei Olam has mercy on a person, but once you put yourself in danger, then already it's much easier, so to speak, for the Satan to get punished for you, because already you put yourself in the danger. That's why the Gemara says you never put yourself in the place of Sakana, because you're making it easy now, Chas v'Shalom, to open the books on you. So maybe he deserves to get punished. Why should we save him? That's what the Gemara says in Shabbat, that tells the Shohet, when you see your ox fall down, hurry up, sharpen your knife, because already you see the luck of the shore is down. That's the time to kill him. When the ox falls, that's the time to get him. That's the time to sharpen your knife. So comes the Gemara and says, Levi ava mitayil kameh derabi. Levi would entertain in front of Rabbi betemane sakine. He would juggle 8 knives. Rabbi, a certain period in his life, went through tremendous tzar because of Klai Yisrael's avonot and the situation, and he was despondent, or he was upset, Rabbi. So Levi would come and cheer him up, and they would juggle knives. So the Mefarshim said, Aruch Lanin explains, what is he juggling the knives? He was trying to tell the bee that you don't have to be upset. He says, you are protecting Klal Yisrael. Just like I'm able to juggle knives, which is very dangerous, and I don't get hurt, because I know what I'm doing, so too in your Zechut Rabbi, Klal Yisrael is being, you're saving Klal Yisrael from much hardship because of your zechut, because of your existence. It says the Rabbi accepted the Yisurin of Klal Yisrael on him. That's what they say. On the days that the Rabbi would smile, Purarut would come on Klal Yisrael. Which is, as long as he was suffering, Klal Yisrael was saved from suffering. Once he would smile, already the Purarut would go back on Klal Yisrael. Shemuel Kamesh Bor Malka. Shemuel would entertain in front of the king. Shapur was a Persian king. Betemanya mazge hamra, with 8 glasses of wine. He would juggle 8 glasses of wine, and the expertise was he was able to juggle the wine, and the wine would remain in the cup. It would not leave, and there was symbolism of there as well. Certain symbolism when they were trying to say that he's going to have a long life, and he's going to succeed. Abaye kameh de Rabba. Abaye would entertain in front of Rabba. Betimanya be'e. He would juggle 8 eggs. Ve'amdila barba'a be'e. And some say he would juggle 4 eggs. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. Kesheinu simechim simcha bet ha-sho'eva. Lo ra'inu shena be'aneinu. Says, on those days when we were celebrating simcha bet ha-sho'eva, we didn't sleep. Kesa. So he gives you the schedule. They woke up in the morning. Sha'ar ishona tamid shel shahar. Right away to crack a dawn. Right away to the Beit HaMikdash. Korban tamid shel shahar. Misham the tefillah. Then we went to pray shaharit. Misham the korban musaf. Back to the Beit HaMikdash. Korban musaf. Misham the tefillah to musafim. Then we went to pray musaf. Misham the Beit HaMidrash. And you go learn. This is the holiday. On Sukkot. Misham the achila v'shtiyah. After the Beit Midrash, then they went and they ate and drank. Misham tefillat mincha. Then they went to pray mincha. Misham tamid shel ben arba'im. Then they go and they bring the korban. Mikan ve'ilach, after they brought the korban, afternoon already, the simcha b'teshu'eva. And the simcha b'teshu'eva lasted all night until the morning. And then it started again. Just as we went, what he's saying is, we went a week without sleeping. You can't go a week without sleeping. A guy makes a swear. I swear I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. What do they do to him? Melkin oto. On the spot, you give him lashes. Why? Because it's a shivu'ah shav. Because such a shivu'ah cannot be kept. It's impossible for a human being to go for 3 days without sleeping. So therefore, you give him lashes immediately. You don't wait for him to try. We know he's not going to succeed. You can't do that. You cannot go without sleeping for 3 days. And then what does it say? V'yashin la'altar. Then he can go to sleep immediately. Which means his vow means nothing. Which means don't think he has to try. Once you whip him, finish. You got to put him with his avon and let him go to sleep. So how could the rabbi say that they went for a week without sleeping? We didn't taste real sleep. We were dozing off on each other's shoulders. As they were dancing in the Sibah, they were dozing off. So the Rishonim asked the question over here, what do you mean it was Sukkot? How can I sleep outside the Sukkah? What do you mean they're dozing off over here? How could you doze off? So you have to say that since they were involved in the mitzvah, or sigma mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. It's like we said, shiduchai mitzvah, our exempt, this was part of the mitzvah of Sukkot, to be outside and being b'simcha. So there was those off, they were not bound to the Sukkah itself. And that's the Radbaz says. Hamesh Esrei Ma'alot. Okay, we said part of the process of the Simcha B'Tishrei, it was 15 steps that went from the Ezrat Yisrael through Sha'ani Kanor, 15 steps down into the Ezrat Nashim. And they would go down the steps, and all the Levim had their instruments on the steps, and they had the Simcha. So now we're going to discuss the 15 steps over here. What were these? Why 15 steps? What were they? Amar le Rav Chasda, lehum Rav ben Rabbanan. Rav Chasda told a certain scholar, rabbi, Davu, Davu kamisadir Agata kamelu. A certain scholar used to say over Agata, like Dirashot in front of Rav Chasda. So Rav Chasda tells the rabbi, Amar le, Shami alach ani 15 ma'alot kenegad mi Amaram David. These 15 shira ma'alots in Tehilim. Do you know why David HaMelech, shira ma'alot literally means the song of elevation or ascension? What's the logic? What was David HaMelech said 15 Tehilim that start off with shira ma'alot or shira ma'alot? What was the reason? Did you hear anything about that? So the rabbi says, Amar de, hachi Amar b'yohanan. B'sha'a shekara David shittin. David HaMelech was digging the shittin. According to this opinion, the shittim were not from Shittim Ma'aseh Bereshit. According to this opinion, it was David that actually dug under the foundation of the Mizbeach. There was no Mizbeach at the time. In the future, Shlomo built the Mizbeach, but he dug the foundation to the shittim. Or that she gives an alternate explanation that no, that the shittim were Meshit Shemei Ma'aseh Bereshit, but they just got clogged up. You know, so therefore, he just needed to uncover them to make it, to clear them up. In any event, when David HaMelech was digging, he was making those excavations underground, kapa tehoma, he hit the tom, he hit the water main underground, and now all of a sudden the tehom, which is the water of the depth, started to rise, which means he hit the water. There's water underneath the ground, and therefore he hit the water and it came up. And now the water was going to flood the whole world. He couldn't stop the water. The water was just coming out of the ground and it was going to flood the whole world. Amar David Hamesh Yisrei Ma'alot. So David HaMelech said, there's 15 Shira Ma'alot. And the water went back down. So Rav Chasda says, what are you talking about? Ihache Hamesh Yisrei Ma'alot Yordot Mubi'ile. It's to say Shira Yoredot. The song of descension, of going down. Not Shira Ma'alot. What are you talking about? Doesn't make sense. So Amar De. So the rabbi said, oh, you reminded me what the derash was. Hu'id v'adarchatan, since you reminded me, hachit. But this is what the statement was. B'sha'a shekara David shittin, when David HaMelech was digging the shittin, the foundations of the Mizbeach, kapa tehoma, again, the tehom rose up, u'ba'al mishtafi alma, and it was going to flood the entire world. Amar David, so David HaMelech says, mi'ika, tiyada ishari le'mechtav shem, Ahaspa. Does anybody know? He was with all his advisors. Does anybody have a heter for me to write the Shema Meforash on a piece of chard, on a piece of pottery, and I'll throw it into the tahom, umanach, and it will calm down? That's David HaMelech's, his angle was, he figures if he'll write the Shema Meforash and drop it in, and the Shem will cause the waters to secede. But the question was, by putting it in there, you're erasing Hashem's name. So he says, anybody know if we're allowed to do this? Can we erase Hashem's name in the water? Now that she says over here, top line, why do you want to write it on Hayres? Because Hayres floats. I'm sorry, Solel it sinks. And therefore he wanted to get the Shema Mifrash all the way down to the opening. Okay? He wanted it to get down to the hole. ובאגדת הספר שמואל מפורש שמצאו דוד על פני הנקב התהום וכתוב בו שהיה שם משת שמי בראשית. He found this piece of pottery that on the hole itself, and on the when he was digging, and on the piece of pottery it said that these this hole was here already from so he wanted to take that piece of pottery that he found at, you know, plugging up the hole, he wanted to write Shemim Furash on it and drop it back in. So he asked, does anybody know if we're allowed to do this? Nobody told him anything. He didn't get an answer. Amar David, call the Yada' lememar. Ve'enu omer. Anybody that knows the answer to this question and does not say, Yehanek begrono, he'll be choked to death. Nasa Ahitofel Kavahomir Ba'atzos. Ahitofel was one of David's advisors who eventually lost his Henek Le'olam Abba and eventually died through choking. Because once already David HaMelech said it, even though Ahitofel is going to give him the answer, doesn't matter. The Gezer Abdel Tzaddik comes true regardless. Uma la'asot shalom in ish le'ishto. This is Ahitofel's logic. And what to make peace between man and his wife? In the case of the sota, where a man suspects his wife impropriety, Amra Torah, the Torah says, Shemi shenichtav b'kdusha. My name is Shemi b'kdusha, yimahe ala mayim. But you erase God's name that she drinks the waters in order that we can make shalom between man and his wife. La'asot shalom lechol ha'olam kulo al ahad kama v'kama. Here we're going to make to keep peace in the entire world. Just to make peace between two people. Here, if the whole world's destroyed, this is it. It's gone. So to keep peace in the entire world, all the more so we can raise Hashem's name. Amar le shareh. So Ahitofel tells David HaMelech mutar. Katav shem ahaspa. So he wrote the shem on the pottery, v'shadeh l'toma, he threw it into the depths, v'nachi tehoma shitzar alfei germideh. Now the water went down 16,000 amut. Jesus, he's not only did it work, but the water receded all the way very, very low. Ki hazeh d'nachi tuba, when he saw the water went down so much, amar kamad midleh tafeh mirtav alma. Which means the higher the water is, the more moist and fertile the ground will be. Which means the ground also receives water from the depths. It's too low. So he said it's beneficial for the water to be higher. So what did he do? Amar hamesh isle ma'alot. So when he said shira ma'alot, he said it 15 times. Ve'aske hamisar afe garmidi. So he elevated the waters now 15,000 amot higher. Ve'ukme ba'alfe garmidi. Right? And the water now was just receded 1,000 amma under the water, which is a good spot. Amar Odash Ma'mina Sumchadara Alfigar Midi. From here we learn that the thickness of the earth is 1,000 amot, which means you dig 1,000 amot and then you'll hit water. Kebara, so what do you mean? Va Hazyan de Kharina and Purta Vena Pakmaya. But we see we dig much less and we hit water. So Amar Mesharatya Misulma de Prat. That's from the ladders of Nahar Pirat. Nahar Pirat's waters, because the way the Nahar Pirat Euphrates River was situated, the water pressure of Nahar Pirat would cause the waters underground to go higher than the 1,000 amma levels. So yeah, when you're talking about that spot over there, that's from the Euphrates River. The water pressure of the Euphrates River causes the water to rise within the 1,000. That's why you're fine. But generally speaking, the water is 1,000 amma underneath. And as she says this in Dibur HaMathil, Sulme de Prat. They call it the ladders of Prat because it's as if the waters are being taken by a ladder and being elevated to higher terrain. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Okay, now it says that the Kohanim would go down to the 10th step and they would blow the shofar. Tikiah, Teruah, Tikiah. Now they're on their way out of the Beit HaMikdash. Now they're about to draw the water. So they leave the Azat Yisrael and they start going down the steps. So the Gemara says a question. Ba'er of Yirmiyah. Lema'ala asirit. When it says to the 10th step, Tenaqit hamisha, does it mean that they went down 5 steps? Vika'e'a asara, and they're on the 10th step? They're starting from Azat Yisrael. Does it mean they went down 5? Now there's on the 10th step before. Is that Nashim? Or Dilma Dinahit Asara? Or maybe the Mishnah means they went down 10 steps, Vika'e Ahamisha. And they're on the 5th step before, is that Nashim? Gemara says tiku. You really don't know which step they were on. Were they on the fifth, five steps down, or did they go 10 steps down? Tanur Banan. That says, what did they do on the way out of the Beit HaMikdash? They turned their bodies towards the west. And they said, you know, our forefathers that were in the first Beit HaMikdash, they left this entrance and their back was to the Hekal. So it says, Mimash Rashnemar Ufnehem Kedma. The Pasuk says their face was to the east. Now once you tell me their face was to the east, what it matters means their back was to the west. Why does the Pasuk have to say, Ufnehem Kedma V'ahorem Elechal Hashem? It's obvious, if they're facing east, and these are the idol worshippers, or the sun worshippers. So when they came out of the Beit HaMikdash, their body was facing the east. That means their backs were facing west. What do you have to tell me their backs were facing west? It's obvious. אלא מה תמוד אמר אחרים אליך לשם מלמד שהיו פורעין עצמן. Not only were they facing the west, but they revealed themselves ומטריזין כלפי מטה, and they defecated כלפי מטה. And she says that when it says כלפי מטה, it really means כלפי מעלה, meaning towards the שכינה, but the Gemara doesn't want to write חס ושלום כלפי מעלה, so it's כלפי מטה, which is, that's why it says, אחוריהם אליכל השם, that they weren't just facing אליכל השם, but they actually did such a defecation in front of הקדוש ברוך הוא. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, and they would say, אנו ליה, וליה איננו. We are for God, and God is for us. Now the problem in this statement is they repeated God's name back to back. And what's the problem with that? Ini ve'amar bizera bizera said kol ha'omer shema shema. Anybody that repeats the pasuk of shema, meaning they say shema yisrael shema shema had shema yisrael shema, they repeat the pasuk of shema twice in a row. Kilu omer modim modim. It's like he says modim modim. What's the problem with saying modim modim? This is Chas v'Shalom. There's two deities. And if we say Shema Yisrael, if there's one God, and you say Shema Yisrael again, there's another God. So that's it's a problem. So therefore, the Gemara says, how are they allowed to say this thing of Anu Liya Uliya? And then it's Masra Chas v'Shalom. It's saying God's name twice in a row. El Achi Amri. So I say it like this: Hema Mishtahavim Kedma. They used to bow to the east. The Anu Liya Mishtahavim. We're bowing to God, ve'enenu leyam yahalot, and our eyes are to God anticipating, which means they would split it up. They didn't put the name of Hashem back to back. They made two statements. We are, they did this, and we did that, and they had these words separating them, so they wasn't considered doing it, saying Hashem's name back to back. Okay. They said it on two things. That she said, "Tre mile kamet kar le tre zimne." V'lava hadam milta. They didn't say it on one sentence. Right? They split it up. Comes the Gemara and says, actually comes the Mishnah. Now we discuss that on a daily basis in the Beit HaMikdash, they used to blow the shofar for different events. So the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to tell us now, what was the minimum amount of sounds that were blown on any given day, and what was the maximum amount that was ever blown on a given day. So the Mishnah says, "Ed pochatin me'eslim ve'ehat tiki'ot b'mikdash," which means the minimum was 21. Now when we say 21 tiki'ot, when we say tiki'ot according to this Mishnah, it means tiki'ah, teru'ah, tiki'ah. That's considered three sounds. Okay, so altogether it was 21 sounds, which would mean seven sets of tiki'ah, teru'ah, tiki'ah. Ve'en mosifin al 48. And the maximum that they would blow on any given day was 48. So that's 16 sets. So that's the range. It's anywhere from 7 sets to 16 sets, which is 21 sounds to 48 sounds. Now, bechol yom hayusham eslim va'ahat תקיעות במקדש. How? שלוש לפתיחת שערים. In the morning they would open the gates. Yeah, they have to open the gates to get in. So they would open the gates, they would blow תקיעה תרועה, תקיעה. ותשע לתמיד של שחר. They would blow an additional 9 sounds for during the korban tamid shel shah, the morning korban, v'tesh shah letavid shel ben arbaim, and nine more for the afternoon. So that's 9 and 9 is 18 plus 3, 21. That's a minimum daily sounds. Musafin, the day there was a korban musaf, Rosh Chodesh, etc., Shabbat, hayu musifin od tesha, another 9. Okay, so that takes you to 30. Uba'erev Shabbat, on Fridays, hayu musifin shesh, an extra 6. Why? Shalosh leftir ta'am melacha. They would blow the shofar before Shabbat to tell the people, okay, time to go home. Stop working. Right? That was like the alarm. So they know already they got to go home and get ready for Shabbat. And then v'shalosh leftir mekodesh tehol. And then 3 more right before Shabbat would enter, so they know now already it's Shabbat already. So it was an additional 6. So that would take you to 36. Erev Shabbat shebetoch haHag. Now, for Erev Shabbat, a Friday that came out in the middle of the holiday, Hayu Sham 48. That's when you had maximum sound, 48. How? Shalosh leftihat sha'arim. 3 for opening of the gates. Now, Shalosh lesha'ar ha'alyon. You had 3 when they opened the upper gate, v'shalosh le'sha'ar ha'tachton, the lower gate, which means on the holiday they used to go out of these gates on Erev Shabbat to get the water. Mm-hmm. So we said they would go out of the gates of the Beit HaMikdash. So besides the regular opening gates in the morning, there was other gates, Sha'ar Elyon, which is Sha'ar Nikanor, and Sha'ar Tahton, that's the gate on the eastern side of the Beit HaMikdash that they would exit from. So they would also blow the shofarot at those junctures. V'shalosh l'milu yamayim. And there was an additional 3 that they blew at the time of the miluy hamayim, right? Filling the water. Actually, when they came back into Sha'ar Hamayim, the water gate, they used to blow the shofar an additional time. V'shalosh al gabeh mizbeah. An additional 3 al gabeh mizbeah, when they used to walk around the mizbeah with the arava. On Sukkot, they used to walk around with arava. So they also, we learned above, they would make tikiah tiru'ah, tikiah. Tesh cha'al tamid shel shahar, v'tesh cha'al tamid shel ben arbaim, v'tesh cha'al the musafin, shalosh laftir ta'am min ha'melacha, v'shalosh laftir ben kodesh lechol, because it was Friday. So therefore, altogether you have 48. Now the Gemara is going to ask, you skipped one. Remember we learned just now that when they were on the 10th step, they would also blow tikiat tiru'ah on the way out. Besides when they opened Sha'ar Nikanor and Sha'ar HaTachton, they would blow on the steps. So they didn't count that one. So seemingly it should be 51. So anyway, that's the count of sounds. Comes the Gemara and says... Now, I actually want to read Rashi. He just gives you the system of the 9 sounds that were blown during the Tamid Shel Shahar. Where did they get 9 sounds? Rashi, Teshah leTamid Shel Shahar. Kishayu min hasichim et neskei haTamid, when they would pour the wine on the Mizbeah during the Korban Tamid, haLevi'im umrim b'shir, the Levi'im would sing songs. U'shlosha perakim ayu b'shir. There were 3 chapters that Levim would sing. Shayum mafsikim bo, that between each chapter, the Kohanim would stop. V'tukim haKohanim b'asoserot, they would blow in between the chapters. U'mishtachavim ha'am, k'dam masechet tamid, higi al perik, takov v'shtachavu ha'am, they would bow down. Akov perik tekiah, v'akov tekiah shtachavaya, they would, between each perik there was a tekiah, every tekiah there was a bow. V'akov tekiah haita teru'ah be'emsa, v'shutah lefaneh ul'achareya. Every tekiah has a teru'ah, as a... Every teruah is a tekiah before it, and a tekiah after it. They call it a peshuta, because it's a straight, long sound. Okay? Comes the Gemara. Matnitin to look at Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Tanya, we have a brayta. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Hapohet lo yifchot mesheva. The mosif lo yosif al sheshesre. Rabbi Yehuda has different numbers. He said the minimum amount of sounds was 7. The maximum, 16. Well, our Mishnah said 21 and 48. So therefore, obviously our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. So give us B'maika Mepeligye. What's the machloket over here? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Tiki'ah Teru'ah Tiki'ah Ahati. He looks at each set as one mitzvah. V'Rabbanan Savri Tiki'ah Lihud Teru'ah Lihud. Whereas the rabbis look at each sound as a separate mitzvah. So therefore, it is a machloket. Do you look at the So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's seven sets, because each set is considered one unit, one mitzvah. Whereas the Hachamim, they say, no, it's 21. Because they look at each sound as a separate mitzvah. So that's the machloket. Now, my tamad Rabbi Yehuda, what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda that he considers them all, each set is one mitzvah? He says, Amar Kera, the Pasuk says, Utka'atem tiru'ah. It says, and you will blow a tiru'ah. Now what's the proof? So that she says, my tamad Rabbi Yehuda dechtiv, utkatem tiru'ah, alma tiru'ah hainu tiki'ah. It says, and you will blow a utkatem, which is lashon of a tiki'ah, you will blow a tiki'ah tiru'ah. Implying that what? It's all one. Now we know, it says in one pasuk, utkatem tiru'ah, that means the tiki'ah has to come before the tiru'ah. And then we have another pasuk that says that the tiru'ah would come before the tiki'ah. So therefore we know that the tiru'ah must have been in the middle, and you have a tiki'ah before it, and a tiki'ah after it. From the fact that the pasuk calls the tiru'ah a tiki'ah, must be that it's all considered one. That's his proof. Good? Comes again, Rabbanan says, skip the parenthesis, Rabbanan. What do the rabbis do? The rabbis come along and say, no, it's not coming to tell you the amount that the tikiyah tiru'ah is considered one item. It's coming to tell you the order. That first comes a tikiyah, then comes a tiru'ah utkatim, tiru'ah. And then, as I told you, we have another pasuk that says, tiru'ah yitki'u, which teaches us that the tiru'ah comes before the tikiyah. So therefore you have a tiru'ah between tikiyah, before tikiyah. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, the pasuk is not coming to tell you how many mitzvot you're fulfilling. It's just telling you the order. Utka'atem, tiru'ah, this is tiru'ah, yitki'u. To teach me that what? That there's a tikiyah before and a tikiyah after. Good? That comes again, what says, skip the parentheses, v'rabbanan, my tamayu. What's the reason of the rabbis that say we consider them three separate mitzvot? Tikiyah teruah, tikiyah is considered three separate mitzvot. Tichtiv. This is by the chatzoserot that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to blow, to call the people, to convene the people. So it says, ubakil et hakahal, when you're calling the people to convene, titki'u velo tari'u. Make a tikiyah, but not a teruah. Now, if you're telling me that each set is considered one mitzvah, so now what is God telling Moshe? Well, when you're going to call the people to convene, just blow a tikiyah, which means God said to do half a mitzvah. Does it make sense to do half a mitzvah? Which is, if you look at one set, tikiyah teruah, tikiyah is a mitzvah, one unit. Then what's God saying? Well, when you convene the people, you do half the mitzvah, just do a tikiyah. The Gemara says, Amar Ahmana, Palgad mitzvah avid, upalka lo avid. That doesn't make sense. Ela must be what? That each sound is a separate mitzvah. So instead of doing all three, God's telling when you convene the people, you only have to do the tikiyot. You don't have to do the teruah. Okay, but at least it's a complete mitzvah. It wouldn't make sense that God would be telling Moshe to do half a mitzvah. Because if it's one unit, God said, don't do the teruah, just do the tikiyot. What's the tikiyot? Tikiyot without teruah is half a mitzvah. Doesn't make sense. It must be it's three mitzvot. And therefore, you just tell him, do the tikiyot, so at least you're doing a complete mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda,
he says it's not a mitzvah at all to blow these shofarot over there.
That one.
Which is, that just convened the people. So therefore, God's talking about, really, it's one unit. Therefore, when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash, I tell you what, it's seven. Meaning each three is considered one mitzvah. High over there, when God told him just blow tikiyot, that's just a siman. That's just as a sign for the people to convene. It's not a mitzvah at all. So your contention on me, rabbis, half a mitzvah. Not a half a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah at all. V'rabbanan, simanahu. You're right. It's a siman for the people. V'rachmana shavya mitzvah. But God commanded to blow the chatzoserot to make the siman. So therefore, you're right. I agree with you. It's just a siman, but it's a mitzvah. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say it's one, because then you're saying God's talking to do half a mitzvah. Look at Rashi. Two lines from the bottom.
Ahu the siman abe almahu. This is the Biyudas. Ahu tekiya shehila kila kal ena el siman. Because Moshe wanted to speak alem. Moshe wanted to speak to the people. Ve'ena mitzvah. Next Rashi. The hamala shavya mitzvah. Shemitzuvim lakil besiman zev lo ba'achir. Obviously, God said the way you convene the people is with this siman, and not a different siman. Why did he come take the hatzot surat? It must be that's why God wants them to do it. So therefore, it's a mitzvah. Therefore, it makes sense to say each one was separate, and therefore, God said only do the tikiot mitzvot, don't do the teruah.